何でもバカバカ忘れはよ。The symptoms of Kali Yuga, and we're reading text 10 to 16, and we'll chant 10 responsibly. Shitabata Tapakaru Himai Anyun Yatakrachaha Chuchubyam Yadjibhishthaira Santapasyante Sachinkaya Chitabhattakapalid Chitabhattakapalid Himaya Anyam Yatakrachaha Chitribhyam Yadjibhishthaira Sankatpasyante Chachinchaya Vata, wind, Africa, the heat of the sun, Tahit, torrential rain, Himai, and snow, unknowingness of health, Baikor, Kajaha, the citizens, tempted by hunger, to jump and face God the disease by the reason, trust, also, ever, indeed, thanks to touch and faith, they will suffer great distress. And Inshallah, by anxiety. Translation. The citizens will suffer greatly from cold, wind, heat, rain, and smoke. They will be further tormented by quarrels, hunger, thirst, disease, and severe anxiety. Text 11, ready? Shimshad Vinshati Varshani Paramayit Halaunam. Translation. The maximum duration of life for human beings in Kali Yuga will become 50 years. Text 12 to 16 together. Shiyamanesu Dehesu Dehinam Kalidoshitaha Varnashrama Vatam Dhanu Naste Veda Patelinam Tashanda Patelidhanu Vashupale Shirajasu Kalyam Shishavishatinsa Nana Vikti Shivayanishu Shudra Praya Shivanishu Bhagra Praya Shivanishu Griha Praya Shashyamishu Dhamma Praya Shivanishu Anupraya Shavshadishu Shami Praya Shistamishu Vindu Praya Shimedheshu Shinya Praya Shishadmashu Vitam Kalao Kata Praya Shineshu Karabhanishu Dhamma Tanaya Satsuna Bhagavan Bhaka Pishwati. Translation. By the time the age of Kali ends, the bodies of all creatures will be greatly reduced in size, and the religious principles of followers of Varnashram will be ruined. The path of Vedas will be completely forgotten from human society. The so-called religion will be mostly atheistic. The kings will mostly be thieves. The occupations of men will be stealing, lying, and needless violence. And all the social classes will be reduced to the lowest level of people. Cows will be like goats. Spiritual hermitages will be no different from mundane houses. And family ties will extend no further than the immediate bonds of marriage. Your plants and herbs will be tiny, and all trees will appear like dwarf family trees. Clouds will be full of lightning, homes will be devoid of piety, and all human beings will have become like ashes. At that time, the Supreme Personality of Godhead will appear on the earth, acting with the power of pure spiritual goodness to the rescue of eternal religion. Significantly, these verses point out that most so-called religions in this age will be atheistic. Pashandu Pachyadhanhita. In confirmation of the Bhagavatam's prediction, the United States Supreme Court has recently ruled that to be considered a religion, a system of belief need not recognize a supreme being. Also, many atheistic voidistic belief systems, often imported from the Orient, have attracted the attention of modern atheistic scientists who expound on the similarities between Eastern and Western voidism and fashionable esoteric beliefs. These verses vividly describe many unsavory symptoms of the age of Kali. Opening at the end of this age will Kali, the irritation will descend as Kali, and remove the thoroughly demoniac persons from the face of the earth. So we're hearing a lot of predictions. To believe or not to believe predictions is a question. I know that on a daily basis, I don't usually believe in the weather report predictions, although they're made within a couple of days of what's going to happen. You get farther away as you get to the 10th day, it's like together, not even close. And then you've got your almanac predictions, 50-50, maybe, maybe not. And then you have your stock exchange predictions. Usually they're way off the mark. So it's kind of hard to have faith in predictions. And these predictions were made 5,000 years ago. And if we stick our head out the door, we see that it's actually in full effect. And so therefore we can understand that we can have some faith in these Vedic literatures, that it really is the absolute truth, the honest to God, the honest from God truth, because it is full of knowledge of everything. And these predictions, although they aren't saying here as it says here, they are happening and they are the truth. So all the acharyas and great sages in the past, they believed it and they lived by it. I'm sure it was very hard for them to conceive that some of these things happening when they were in the Sakya Yuga. It can get so far out of mind that these things would be going on. But even scientists now are finding evidence of different things that they thought were mythology in the Vedic literatures, like the Ramayana, the epic, and work and things like this, are finding actually substantial evidence that maybe things are mythology, maybe the Vedas are actually something full of wealth. So these predictions are very self-evident, and they are going on. And even within my very short lifetime, relatively speaking, we see things that weren't happening before that are now being mentioned here that we never thought would happen. So what do we get out of all these predictions? One is that we have to be very cautious that we aren't around for this. These predictions that have become full-blown, that we actually are on our best behavior. Because in the prison house, which we are in, you are able to get out early if you're on good behavior. And we have to recognize that Srila Prabhupada has actually bailed us out. The guru bails you out, and we're put on parole, and we're being watched very carefully of our behavior. Now, when you leave prison, sometimes they put a little thing on your ankle during parole so that they can watch where you are, that you don't leave the county and things like that. Anyone ever seen that? Yeah. So in the same way, if we're not chanting Hare Krishna, that's our little band. Your Krishna will, Maya will take over. But if we should be able to be chanting all the time, and Krishna will know exactly where we are, and we can stay connected to him. So it's very important that we want to escape. And this is definitely an impetus to want to escape from this tremendous things that are going on. So we have to be on our best behavior. That means, just like we heard a couple minutes ago, that we have to, cross our T's, dot our I's. We have to follow everything that Prabhupada said if we want to be that really dry wood and really benefit by all this knowledge and finish up our business in terms of attitude. Because many people, they want to escape. Just the other day, I think some cold front was coming in, it had been nice and warm off, and when I walked home, like right in the morning, a northern blast of air hit you, there's nothing wrong. And I just think, oh, this is so painful, I just want to get out of here, And so many people are feeling like that. But you see, anxiety is already there. It's like top on the list of people. It's like the top on the list of the mantras that we say in the script books, because everyone can relate. Yeah, anxiety, so everyone has that feeling. Sometimes every day, daily, many times during the day, that I would just like to get out of here. And it's not getting better. So it is our duty to help these people to learn that these things are going to happen, to make it knowledgeable to them that these predictions are going on. Open up your eyes, wake up, smell the tapati, it's happening. And then we have to give them a solution
that's the most important thing, is that we can give them a solution to these problems. That we can let them understand that they can become transcendental in so many different ways. Luckily, when I was walking in, I was feeling miserable. I thought, well, fishing is so fun. It's snowing up north. Yeah, I'm floating. And I said, I'm not this body. It's just, I'm holding here for a few minutes, a few seconds, but it changed in part of me. So whatever I'm supposed to get for it, so we have those that do the modest energy. And ultimately, we have the real solution of how to get out and not have to come back again. And of course, Srila Prabhupada said that this Kali Yuga can be withheld and changed by the Sankirtan movement. We don't understand enough. This kirtan in the streets, and this it's preaching, which is also kirtan, is the solution, is a powerful weapon against Kali Yuga. In that play when Kali Yuga comes and Kali and Sin are like running away, covering their ears because of that holy name and just have to leave, because it is so powerful. Because it connects us to Krishna's very powerful energy, with his internal energy. So we have to take advantage of that and stay connected and tell others how they can just simply participate in this Harinam Sankirtan movement and benefit. And we can stay outside of what's going on in the material world to an extent. To a much beneficial extent, such that we are in total anxiety all the time. So this anxiety really began, if you go back in history, even just 200 years ago, or so, in Europe. At that time, they were living off and on mostly. They had their draft animals. They lived in small villages. They had their necessities, and they worked hard, but they had what they needed, and they were very much connected to nature, and therefore they had some respect for God, and they felt very connected to God. And this was all destroyed by what? What fractured this connection? The Industrial Revolution. With that came independence. I don't need to be connected to God anymore. I got what I need. I don't have to have so much respect. I don't have to stay so dependent on all these things. And I don't need my animals. I don't need, especially the male cows. Might as well just slaughter them, eat them. And it was a great dishevel of humanity standing. It was a great disadvantage to the consciousness that I am part of God, and I should have some piety. And here we see that this piety gets less and less, so there's just atheism prevailing. We saw that even when they came over with the pioneers, they had Thanksgiving. They were still, at least people. But now, Thanksgiving Day is usually just a time for taking consultation. So this is what happens is that now the consciousness is, I simply exploit nature. How much can I get back? I don't need to respect her. I don't need to worry about it, because it's all there. I can just take it, and I can make all these different things that I don't really even need. And it's true. You're making millions and thousands and billions of things with all these machines that you really need. And our gratefulness is practically zero. So even in history, you can see that the natives of different countries, they all had respect for the gods. They understood there was some power up there, and that they should heed to the desires of the Lord. Therefore, they did some sacrifice. And they were very respectful. thankful for that. But this will all tail off to nothing and simply wanting to exploit Mother Nature. And if you've ever been in a household when your mother is not in a good mood, you walk on eggshells, right? And you want to make sure you don't say the wrong thing, because what can she do? She can blow her top, right? And so that's what Mother Earth is doing now. Volcanoes, right? She's agitated. She's breaking apart. Earthquakes. She cries. Mothers can cry too. Torrential rains, right? Mudslides. So many things that are going on. The lightning is described here, guys, of lightning and floods, flash floods, and things. It's going to only increase. It's only going to increase. So it can be very scary. So one has to, no one can stop Mother Earth from doing this. The computers can't. Even your cell phone cannot stop Mother Earth. Nothing can stop. So if we don't stop and change the consciousness, then there really is all this is going to happen for speed ahead. And without the necessities of life, then people are agitated. If they can't get what they want, and the nature is just very disturbing, they're losing their homes, fires on all sides of them, drought, so many things, then they're upset. And therefore, they're going to be angry with their neighbors. They're going to want to steal from other people because they don't have what they need. And you can just see how it snowballs. And so there's unnecessary just killing for the sake of killing. And then it just talks about the taxes, how there's going to be so much taxing that everyone's going to be upset. I found a nice little quote from Papa's discussion of taxation. And he says taxation is very simple. At least it was very simple. Everyone was, not begrudgingly, but very much happy to give one-fourth of whatever they were growing, whatever they were producing, to the king, because the king was pious. In other words, the king could understand that he should be worshiping the Lord, and therefore the earth was very happy, because the piety was there, flourishing. And so she was very happy. She didn't withhold anything. She gave everything she had. But she was happy. So, and then everyone was very glad. They had plenty of everything they needed. So they would give one fourth to make sure that everything was very nicely done. And they didn't have to produce artificial things, because they had what they really needed. So we can see that we're way off the mark. And unless we can develop this consciousness and develop a model like this, and actually do become a very strong religious movement, then the predictions are there. Because there is not satisfaction. We see it. No one is really satisfied in this age. I talk to students a lot, and they're all in anxiety, and they're not really satisfied. Many of them are simply going to school just so that they know they can survive somehow. And they don't even know how, even if they get their master's or whatever, how they're going to survive. It's described here that the strongest person will survive. But because of all these different degradation things going on, then people become very weak. They have a hard time surviving. So there's a lot of suffering going on. There's that old, or somebody said, some satisfaction, right? And one of them said that the only friend is the end, right? So in the end, our only friend really is coffee. We should have come and get rid of a lot of this suffering. So this is not nice to watch. And Lord Chaitanya and Srila Prabhupada, they had a different outview on it. They said, let's try to change them. And so this whole mission of Lord Chaitanya is to try to give relief to this suffering, giving the knowledge and giving that secret of the holy name that can give them some direction in their life such that they can get out. It's amazing to see that Prabhupada came here and saw how thirsty we were to escape the suffering. He could see that they really wanted this knowledge, and therefore he gave us the greatest direction. He gave us, of course, the literature, as we heard from Diana's yesterday, which is so important, and the Holy Name. But unfortunately, other people in the Oriental, as it says here, the Orient or in the East, they see, oh, look over there in the West. There's a big gold rush. Not a gold rush, but a guru rush. Now everyone wants a guru. So let's go over. I'm a guru. Come to me. And all of a sudden you see all these gurus popping up, right? And different philosophies popping up. And everyone's so thirsty that they'll take whatever they can get their hands on. So therefore we have all these quasi-yoga meditations. These are some examples of that meditation in yoga on the altar today. Who recognizes that? The little frog on Krishna Balaram's altar. One is like this. One is like this. One is like this. Right? This is the yoga poses. I think there's four. I can't remember what the other one is. But they're all in these yoga poses, you know. They're kind of making fun of that, meditation and yoga is these days. But anyone, even a frog, can do them, you know. And pretend like they're being a yogi or whatever. So this is what's happening. And this voidism and impersonalism is being, brought in as spiritualism. And Prabhupada said we already in the West we have the disease, actually to epidemic levels of impersonalism. I had the disease. I'm sure some of you all had that disease. You thought you were God, you thought you were nothing. You thought you're all one, right? So many different things. And people are still have those ideas, and these different groups are feeding that and making it more confusing for people to find out actually what is the absolute truth. And so now we see that the wonderful government has, I didn't realize this was going on, but you can be a religion and have nothing to do with God whatsoever. Doesn't have to be in the picture at all. Doesn't have to be in the radar. You just have to be spiritual. You have to believe something. You know? I remember one time we went to a Cala college, and this group got together and made up this spaghetti factory something religion. And they were actually there. They made up this whole thing presenting a religion that, you know, that they just made up, but they got permission to be there with all the other religions. It was just like a group. Yeah, we all are religions. I know religion too. You know, and people go, so yeah, you can pretty much, if you want to be cheated, you can definitely be cheated in many, many ways. And if you're lazy, yeah, you can pay, you can get liberation of different sorts. And you can be just happy doing nothing, boy, is it. Or you can be very, very, very happy and be everything. You can be God. So everything is there, you can choose from. And of course, atheism is going to be the most popular because it's all about you. When we go to the down in Orlando, we go to a diversity fair every year, and there's one group that is atheist, and they're able to actually present their religions and speak. And it's all about you. If you feel like doing it, do it. With all these other religions, get birth and all kind of scripture and believe this, have faith, and you atheists come up and go, you don't have to do something like this. Just enjoy. Do you want to take off? Take off. You know, that's what you should be doing. You know? And this is your preaching. And it's kind of a religion. And so this will become the religion. So there's a big smorgasbord of different things you can choose from. And God doesn't have to be there. It's kind of like a khichdi. You have, these days, the spiritual living is like khichdi. Khichdi, you have two ingredients. What's the recipe for khichdi? Right. You got your rice and beans, and then you can add some vegetables and your chants, and it's finished. And it's simple, okay? So, to be spiritual these days, you have to have reincarnation, and that's what's coming. And then you throw in a little bit of meditation, whatever kind of meditation you want. You can pick whatever drug you want over there. Add that kind of meditation, and put a chant in there of you know, maybe a guru or something like that. And then you've got your complete thing. And you can enjoy your picture. It's very cheap to make pictures, okay? So you can take whatever cheap religion you want. And kirtan, now kirtan is like, it's really broad its borders. And there's many flavors of kirtan. I'm not going to do that. Anyway, there's many flavors. We get invited to these interfaith groups a lot. Actually, there's two coming up in the next couple of weeks. And I just got invited to a discussion at the University of Florida. They want to represent all the different groups. To come and talk about faith and coexistence. Faith, I don't know exactly what, if it means faith in the religion or if it means different faiths and how they're going to get together. Because that is a problem. You see on bumper stickers about coexistence and having all the different religion signs on there. Because all the wars now are because the faiths don't get along. So that might be what we're going to talk about. Because unless you know about the different religions, you just mark them off as whatever. Remember Keshava, when we had to hide behind the front gate here because some man was throwing stuff all over the yard, and we finally had a chase. There was a chase, and a kid behind there, and they caught the guy, and they chased him in the car, and round, and finally the guy realized he could not run him. And finally the man stopped, and he said, you talk to him, you know, he's still mellow with him and everything, and after a while the police came, and he says, I guess you guys are kind of nice. He said, well, why'd you do that? And he said, because I don't know, I just figured you all were, different and not nice. And then, you guys are pretty nice, And so if this ignorance of the religions can cause all this anxiety and clashing together, it's huge wars now. Thousands and thousands of people, innocent people, babies, kids, being killed because they don't understand what real religion is. Bhakti separates the men from the boys. It separates us from the other religions because it's not lip service. If you go down 441, many times you see a sign outside the church. God is love. Many times, God is love. Or you go to different religions and they'll speak on it, but God is love. But we understand that love of God, that's what bhakti is really about. That's what religion really is about. How to serve God. How did that, which requires what? Submissiveness. It requires service. It requires selflessness. Surrender. That's what it requires. I would like to put a sign out front and say, love of God, come on in. We'll teach you how. We'll teach you how to love God. Because it requires something. It doesn't mean just, oh, God is love. No, you learn how to love God here. And this keeps us very strong in our conviction. We practice what we teach. And we try to spread this to other people. Because then we will be very strong. And this downhill slope that's going to happen will not affect us. And our society can stay together and it can be leading everybody else. Is that the end? What's going to happen? I think it describes that. I remember that the devotees will have to go underground. That because people are not satisfied, they're not being fed, they don't have what they need here, they're teeny tiny, there's nothing but cows and things, everything is small, nothing's left, everything's exploited, that they'll have children just to eat them. And they won't be able to preach to them because the truth. One's not satisfied. Prabhupada said, if your audience is hungry, how are they going to listen to you? And they're not going to hear philosophy. So therefore, he always asked us to please feed the people all around the temple, be fully satisfied. He did that whole city peace thing, you know, everyone was totally satisfied. And then you didn't make it to a philosophy. I remember Kalakanta, before he became a devotee, he came to Portland. And he just came and he just kept feeding. He just kept sitting there because he couldn't move, he was so full. And he just heard the philosophy and he never left. And there were two other boys also that came at the same time. I cooked a really whopper Sunday feast, you know, 10-course meal, and just stuffed and full, you know, everything you could think of, you know. And they'd be lying on their side listening, you know, to being done with all the philosophy. And before you know it, they were saved up. Because they, you know, you can mean that they were satisfied, physically and spiritually. So it's very important that we become very, very strong and realize that this description is not inviting. And I have a question for you all. Should we invite other souls into this world? I have to go through this. I mean, Bhaktisiddhanta says, I could have sex drive 100 times if I thought I could deliver all my dependents. But how hard is it going to be to actually deliver our dependents with this going on? Even now, it's a challenge to get these young teenagers picked and pushed to consciousness. And to become devotees and to reject the materialism and all those things that are so-called making us satisfied and all the things that we really don't need, but they put and need and you have to work for and have to get regular jobs and work out there and get up for taking consciousness and that whole thing. How much harder it's going to be. So should we somehow or other maybe think that it's, you know, it's a good idea to invite souls? I mean, souls are wanting to be liberated, but how easy it would be to liberate these souls. I mean, I could give some suggestions or opinions. Okay.
I do see a lot of promise in the coming generations, you know, that their purity and the fact that they've been raised in Krishna consciousness, that they attract a lot of people. Even a friend recently got in contact with my childhood friend, who, kind of by accident, I was going through a scrapbook and I showed Krista, oh, this is my best friend when I was in grade school. She said, oh, you should look up on Facebook. I said, no. I don't know, I don't want to get entangled, you know. So she did an instant message thing she said, oh, she never looked it up. She didn't look at instant messaging. Then Krista, he scanned the picture I had of her in the postcard I had in my scrapbook, you know. And he said to her, and lo and behold, she said, maybe she's my best friend, you know, all the way to Facebook. So anyway, she was looking at my husband's Facebook page with all the pictures, felt like pictures of the children. And she said, oh, the children are so beautiful. So, and a lot of people make that comment when they come here. They say, like, oh, these kids are so, but their purity shows, you know. So I do think, even though we've seen a lot of our own children, you know, go away, a lot of them, they're still very devoted to Krishna in their heart. And I think when inevitably the difficulties really come, they have the knowledge to know what to do. So even though it can be a big excursion, I think that there's our hope. And I was going to post pictures of the temple. Gasparilla with all the young girls and the crowd. We just have more people to come out, because more people are alive, more people are alive. One question I still don't understand. What did you say about the notion that you said life is white? I love you. I love your idea about the fact that love of God. But they do look very catabolic or systematic or they don't have no children, right? You don't need to be different. You need the purity to keep them. So therefore, it's our job to make sure that the practice is in place and that it's followed by everyone. Because, just like you were reading, if you don't follow the process, you're not going to have a good product. So we have to look within ourselves. Are we doing everything that God wants us to do? And that will make us stronger. Otherwise, you have a tendency to get diluted.
Thank you.
So we have to do the philosophy.
Yeah.
And we have to practice. Yeah, Srila Prabhupada, please, take us to practice.